Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Superior Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SGI and on the OTC markets under the symbol SUPGF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Jordan. Now, Superior Gold is focused on the company's principal asset, the Platonic Gold Operations, located in Western Australia. This is a producing asset that I believe it was last year produced between 60 to 70,000 ounces. And this year, I understand production is continuing to grow. And the company does see a path towards over 150,000 ounces of gold produced each year. That is going to be a little bit of a process to get to that stage. But Chris, let's talk about this year so far. We're in the later stages of Q2. Q1 was still a very good year for the company, but I understand you did have to do some maintenance on the mill. Take us through a general operational update this year so far compared to what the company was producing last year, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. So to quickly start, last year, just to put it into perspective, we produced 77,000 ounces, which was above our guidance of the upper guidance of 75,000 ounces for the year. So we're very happy with what we delivered. And I think more importantly, a quarter on quarter improvement every quarter over the four quarters of 2021. That ushered in 2022, more specifically Q1, when we had to do or planned and scheduled the maintenance shutdown on the SAG mill. The main reason for that is typically for an installation like this, one would do these kind of shutdowns every 7 to 10 years. This shutdown, this specific scope of work has never been done in the 30-year life of the operation. And, you know, we were very happy to be in a position by which we could do the shutdown and plan and schedule in such a way whereby we could still deliver decent results. We produced, if I remember correctly, about 16,700 ounces in the quarter, ended up still with a very strong cash position of $20 million, which was lower what we ended up at 21. But the main benefit that we would glean from that going forward for the rest of the year is, in fact, the mill. And we've now demonstrated internally that the mill can, in fact, now run comfortably at its design capacity of 1.8 million tons per annum. So we're very pleased with the performance of the mills since we did the shutdown. This all puts us in good stead for the remainder of the year, more specifically in the second half, given that this year is heavily weighted towards the second half, firstly, because of the shutdown we had to do in the first half, but secondly, also, in the second half, we'll be drawing at full tilt from main pit deeps, which will augment our underground feed. And also the second half of the year, we're going to see quite a significant improve or increase in production from the underground mine. So if you look at annualized rates, the underground mine delivered 835,000 tons last year. This year, we're targeting to deliver 900, and we're on track to do that. In the Q4 of this year, in fact, we want to hit that million tons per annum annualized rate from the underground mine. In addition to that, the production rate that we're targeting for the second half of this year is to hit that 100,000 ounce per annum annualized rate. So certainly the second half, given that we're going to have a stronger performance, expect a stronger performance from the underground and also main pit deeps are going to give us better grade open pit material, will stand us in good stead to be able to deliver within our guidance of 80 to 90,000 ounces for this year.
Well, Chris, it's nice to see things starting to ramp up and head towards that second half of this year where you're going to be firing on all cylinders. And you had messaged to the market that you expected the first quarter to be the weaker quarter in advance and that this is part of the turnaround plan for the whole operations. You know, you mentioned the underground mine. Some people have been wondering, are you going to do another pushback at Perch in order to access the ore between it and that Plutonic East Area 4 underground? Or are you planning on extending the underground workings from Plutonic East and then moving towards Perch? Which way are you looking at it? And what do you think would be the most optimized plan?
Yeah, well, I think that's a very good question. And in essence, what seems to be coming out from the technical work that we're doing is that firstly, the underground mine, the Plutonic underground mine, together with a main pit pushback, you know, in the next 24 to 36 months would be the one, I would say, focus area of operations on the property. But we've recently taken the technical work or the approach on the technical work we did for the underground and copy and pasted it onto Plutonic East. And that's rendered a certain number of ounces, which we have not reported on. There's a bit more technical work we need to do before that will happen. It's also not included in the latest mineral resource and reserve. But we're also looking now, and that work is currently happening. We're hoping to get an answer somewhere towards the end of July, early August this year, in an area which we call Big Fish. Now, Big Fish is really the open pit opportunity to the east of the Plutonic East underground mine. And what we believe is that there's potentially interaction and connection between an open pit operation and extension of Plutonic East. Now, that's at this stage purely speculation. The technical team, the geologists, are busy running with the models, and I'm hoping to get some positive results. That ultimately would potentially give us alternative options for ore supply, either to the current mill or potentially, given or depending on the size, give us access to ore that could augment feed to the second mill. So still early days, but I think the key message is we're looking at all options on our property, not only at the Plutonic Underground mine and the main pit pushback, to see how we can get the best value from our ore endowment.
Chris, can we talk about costs as well? Because I realized that costs were up in that first quarter, also due to that planned mill shutdown for maintenance. But all-in sustaining costs in Q1 came in at about $1,729 per ounce sold. Realized gold price was much higher. It's a nice gold environment, still is. Any updates you can give us on costs and some of your estimates, not just through this year, but how costs could be brought down in the next preceding years?
Yeah, so it's certainly a big focus for us. Two of the key issues we needed to address for a Superior Gold to drive that rewrite is firstly, to prove that we have appropriate life of mine. And I think the latest mineral resource and reserve gives us that. And there's more to come, as I'm, you know, have referred to Plutonic East, et cetera. But in addition to that, if we look at our cost, the clear messaging, and we know that internally that we need to reduce our costs. We performed really well last year. If you compared Q4 in 2020 versus Q4 in 2021, we ripped out about $267 per ounce all-in sustaining cost. Unfortunately, because of the shutdown, our cost was higher. We expect, and you can imagine the extent to which we're going to get fixed cost dilution running at 100,000 ounces per annum annualized in the second half, that we would expect quite a significant reduction in cost. That will put us in good stead to post a number that very easily fall within the guidance that we've given. However, I need to stress that the guidance we've given between $1,450 and $1,600 per ounce US has taken into consideration the impact of COVID, the impact on the supply chain, et cetera. At this stage, I think we've managed it really well. And at the end of the day, it's a volumes game. We need to get more ore from the underground, more quality ore from the open pit. That'll give us the ounces. You know, those additional incremental ounces comes in at variable costs, and therefore we would see quite a significant improvement on our fixed cost dilution. So I would hope, and we're still in the process of completing the life of mine, which would be completed towards the second half of this year, will give us a much better indication as to where our costs might end up. There's no doubt that the latest mineral reserve statement has us rethinking what the potential opportunity in the underground mine is. How much can we mine on an annualized basis? You know, we're sitting on 5.5 million tons of reserve at 3.5 grams per ton. So all of that plays into improving the quality and the grade of the ore into the mill and ultimately allowing us to produce more ounces. So we would expect, you know, quite a significant reduction in cost in the second half of this year, but because of the first half, probably not going to be to the level that we would want it on a consistent 100,000 ounce per annum operating rate. But that's certainly something that we believe is up for grabs for next year.
Well, Chris, let's talk about the growth that you could see, not just for next year, but, you know, maybe in the next 2 years. And that is, you know, you want to take things from where they are now, from, you know, the 70,000 to 80,000 per year level to the 100,000 ounces per year level this year. But I know that you have the goal to get that up to 150,000 ounces, which would obviously continue to bring costs down. And that would involve that second mill that you'd mentioned. And a lot of people may not realize that you have the two mills. You have the 1.8 million ton capacity at the main one that you're finally getting up to full capacity, but you still have 1.2 million ton capacity on that second mill. Would that be fed by other open pits and some of this other underground, or would that involve Hermes, you know, the open pit there? How would you grow to get to that 150,000 ounces per year level?
So I think first things first, just talking about the 1.8 million tons per annum mill, the goal there ultimately in the next 2 to 3 years is to feed that mill at 1.8 million tons per annum from the underground, as well as main pit pushback. And we believe there's enough ore and feed and capability and capacity to be able to do that. In addition to that, we're also initiating technical studies to see whether we can in fact or debottleneck the 1.8 million tons per annum mill and potentially take it up to 2.1 and at a stretch 2.4 million tons per annum. Now, these are aspirational numbers that we've put out there. The technical work still needs to happen, but hopefully soon we'll be in a position to see what in fact is possible with the current mill, which of course, that incremental milling capacity will come in at a much lower cost, capital intensity, as well as the second mill. Now, let's park the first mill. The second mill, at this stage, we are doing the work towards the east of our property to see whether there's potential feed for the second mill. In addition to that, we are looking and are engaged in conversations with parties outside from or outside our organization to potentially secure ore supply for that second mill. And we're confident that if we are able to procure the ore, that that could potentially add another 50,000 ounces on top of the 100,000 ounces from the first mill. And that's how we're going to create a business of scale up to 150,000 ounces. We do not know exactly yet where that ore is going to come from, but certainly working hard to set that up. As part and parcel of organizing ourselves to go after these opportunities, we've recently announced the appointment of Andrew Bigg, who's our VP Business Development and Long-Term Planning. And one of his key focus areas, without being, you know, pulled into operations, et cetera, will be to go and find that ore for the second mill. So once again, I believe it's probably going to be a combination of on-site ore for the second mill augmented by external ore.
All right, Chris, let's talk a little bit about the exploration tying in that updated resource that was announced May 25th. The headline says Superior Gold increases mineral reserves by 66% and inferred mineral resource by 29%. What we're seeing actual numbers wise is proven and probable reserves are 630,000 ounces, measured and indicated just short of 2 million ounces, and the inferred up to just short of 4 million ounces. So there's a lot of gold in this project and in this system. What other exploration is going to be undertaken here to continue to grow the asset or de-risk these ounces by moving them up in category?
Yeah, well, I think both of that's going to happen. The first few cabs off the rank is Indian Access, on which we reported first time in I think, on the 10th of December last year. And we've just now, the 31st of May, announced a further exploration update on Indian Access, which has shown really positive results. In fact, much improved from the December initial results. Those ounces and potential ounces have not been included in the mineral resource and reserve update of 31st of December 2021. So we would expect that to be included in the 2022 mineral resource and reserve statement. In addition to that, we will continue with our underground mineral exploration. There's another potential front that we're exploring on further, and that's in the eastern mining front, which potentially could give us an additional mining front. Now, typically, the way that we look at it, every main mining front that we do identify, we try and shore it up to provide about 250,000 ounces per annum. And that's the way that we think of it from a quantum perspective. The grades have, to a large extent, stayed constant year on year. I think the important thing that I would like to call out insofar as our accuracy of predicting where the ore is in the underground, and it is a complex ore body. So, you know, if we look at over the last 5 years, the mining that has taken place constitutes only about 8 to 12% from reserve, which means the balance of that came from somewhere else, which was not reported in the reserve. However, in the last 4 months, since we've implemented this new model and working strictly to this new block model, we've in fact achieved 55% of the first 4 months have been mined in reserve, and 100% was mined in resource grade shells. So this is a significant step up. And I think I'm hearing anecdotally from people who's been there for decades that these are the highest numbers that they've ever seen at, you know, at the property. So we're very happy with the technical quality and accuracy that this new method of predicting the spatial positioning of the ore has brought to the table. The benefit of that for the future is that we can now, with more confidence, look at further growth opportunities in the balance of the property at Plutonic, more specifically Plutonic East, and then also hopefully in Big Fish, which is to the east of Plutonic East.
Well, Chris, there's definitely a lot going on, not just on the operations and growth side, but on the exploration side. And yeah, some of the grades you just put out in that recent press release from Indian Access were pretty amazing. The 58.9 grams per ton gold over 2.7 meters, the 17.6 grams per ton gold over 7 meters. So hats off to your exploration team. Hope you keep hitting drill hits like that. I guess just as we wrap up, what are the main things you want investors focused on, let's say, over the balance of 2022? What are the main news events? What are the main milestones you want people to have their eyes on?
I think the two key things that I would like the market to have a look at and to measure our performance on is, number one, hitting our production guidance, because it is a significant step up from what we achieved last year. And the fact that, you know, we've put it out there and lay down the gauntlet, say, we're going to try and get to that 100,000 ounce per annum operating rate. You know, it's something that has been spoken about and promised to the market for a long time. You know, we believe that we can deliver it this year. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not easy, but we're doing everything we can to be able to achieve that. The second thing is also measure the performance of the business from a cost perspective to make sure that we can increase that headroom. And once again, as we said right in the beginning, to make sure that, you know, we'll be able to stand the pressures from lower prices and gold. We have seen the gold prices coming off a little bit and recovering once again. But, you know, you cannot hang your hat on a strong price forever. So we need to focus on the things that we can do and can influence. So I think that'll be the two main things. In addition to that, and probably the third thing I would say, is the outcome of the optimized life of mine study that we will be doing. I hope, and, you know, putting my hat on that, is that the recent drill results from Indian Access would be ore that we could, you know, access really quickly and, you know, have that start producing gold for the business. I think the benefit out of that is 6 months ago, we didn't know about Indian Access, just purely because Barrick, Northern Star, as well as ourselves, went in there previously and found nothing. And, you know, just by visual inspection, it just did not make sense. And our geology team, you know, came back to the management and with a hand in the hat and said, you know, just give us 4 more drill holes. They just want to understand the geology better. Once they'd done that, went back in there, they had 100% hit rate and have sustained that 100% hit rate with improved grades. So it just goes to show that Plutonic is certainly not an operation that's petering down. In fact, there's a lot more life in it than we initially anticipated. And, you know, our new modeling methods, as well as the growth opportunities identified through the drill bit, you know, we're confident will stand us in good stead as we take the production rate up.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for this update, operationally and exploration-wise. If anybody has any direct questions on either of those fronts, please email us, either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We'll have Chris back on a little bit more regularly, hopefully, Chris, just so we can keep everybody more up to date on what's going on with this company. In full disclosure, Chad is a shareholder of Superior Gold. As I mentioned, we'll be following up with Chris more regularly. So please, everyone, send in your questions. And Chris, keep us up to date on future news. We really appreciate your time today.
I will do. Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure.